Yes, hallowed, shiri pakapo sakapa shekiri pa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Yes, all is well. Good, good, good. Yeah, indeed. We thank God. He's faithful. God is gracious. He continues to watch over our lives and to keep us. And I know as we, you know, start of this new week, and we know that God is faithful. Amen. And we will take our reflections today from 2 Corinthians. And we will focus on this verse that says 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And maybe just we'll look at the context, but I think the word there that is actually earlier in chapter 7, in verse 7, where it speaks of the messenger of Satan, and we'll try that was given to Paul to buffet him, and then we'll try to do a study on that so that we can be able to establish what form of messenger, or rather what do the scriptures try and lead us to, what is it that Paul was facing, and such that we can be able to form an understanding and build up a case for persecutions or the suffering that we face as believers. Yeah, so we'll read, we can read from verse 7, and the Bible says, maybe we can start from the beginning so that at least we can see what Paul was saying. He's saying, I will read from NLT, this boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell you about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body, but I do know that I was caught up to paradise and had things so outstanding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. Verse 5. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will only boast about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I will be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. We're in verse 7 now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. And if you look at that verse in King James, it says, unless I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Then let's go back to verse 8. Three times I begged to the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Yeah, so now you can see that if you look at the context that Paul was discussing this, he was trying to win back the Corinthian church, in that there were some people, if you go back to chapter 11, there are some people who are calling themselves super apostles, and who are trying to win themselves over and trying to, you know, to gain the church and to show that they are the ones who are responsible for the church. And they wanted to, those people, they were showing their, you know, they're confident, they're proud, you know, and he refers to them as messengers of Satan, you know, as, and you know, the way Satan pretends to be an angel of light, and so he's also, his servants disguised themselves as messengers of light. And he was trying to show them that, okay, if it is about boasting, we can all boast. And he was saying, and if you just, maybe if you can just jump back to 11 verse 5, it says, but I do not consider myself inferior in any way to these super apostles who teach such things. I may be unskilled as a speaker, but I am not lacking in knowledge, you know. So he's trying to tell them that, well, these guys are calling themselves super apostles, they're teaching, they're what, but he's saying, I may not be an eloquent speaker as they are, I might be rude in speech, like my speaking might not amount to much, but I don't lack knowledge. So he says, now if I was to start boasting, I can boast of many things. Are they Hebrews? I am a Hebrew, you know. Am I trained? I am trained, you know. And he starts saying that if he's to boast about all these things, there are things that he can boast of, but he says that if there's something that I want to boast about, I want to boast in my weaknesses, and I want to boast in my trials. Now, he starts to tell them of, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if we just go to verse 24. Okay, it says that of the Jews, 5 times I received the 40 stripes save for one. Huh? Let me look at this. Yeah, 5 times. The 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. You can imagine, you know, that time to be caned, to be lashed by that whip was not easy. And you're given 39. And he says, 5 times I was given by the Jewish leaders 39 lashes. Verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole day and a night adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I don't burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I am not lying. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas kept guard at the city gates to catch me. I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him. Now, someone will ask yourself, this is the apostle. This is the person who saw Christ. You know, this is the person who is teaching us the grace message. This is the person who has shown us, you know, how he has been blessed with every spiritual blessing, how he has received power, how he is seated with Christ in heavenly places, how Christ, he no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. But then he is going through all these trials, all these persecutions, all these difficulties. And it's not that he's lacking in knowledge. And even he's saying, even in visions, and this is what we're looking in chapter 12, he said that if I am to come to visions, I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago. And when he's speaking of this new younger man, he's not talking of someone different. He's talking of himself. But you see, at that point, he has already gotten to the point where he looks at the man inside him, the spiritual man inside him, that he can even separate that. And he can say, he knows that inner man in him that was caught up. That's why he says, if you look at NLT, it clearly states that I was caught up. It is Paul who's speaking. I was caught up to the heavens 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or not in my body, I don't know. But God knows, and I had things in the heavens that no one can express. So he has been trying to show us that if it is in terms of comparison between the super apostles and him, if he's teaching people, he has been teaching them. If it is suffering for Christ, he has suffered for Christ. If it is giving himself to them without them, you know, spending on them on the gospel without, you know, any charge from them, He has that. He said even he robbed other churches so that he can support the Corinthian church. But then even he tells them that even if I'm to boast about revelations, I can tell you that, I mean, I was caught up to the heavens, I have to the third heaven, and I have seen things that men are not allowed to tell. I have had inexpressible things. But then he says, if I'm going to choose to glory, then the place or the things that I'm going to glory for is in my weaknesses. And he says that beyond these revelations, something was given to him. And it says that it is something that God allowed, that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted beyond measure, above measure. And someone will ask that, okay, what is this thorn in the flesh? Some people will, there are three views that try to look at the thorn in the flesh. One, they look at it as a sickness. And in terms of sickness, there are those who consider it was an issue in the eye, because I think it's in one of the churches when you're telling them that, I remember when I came to you that I preached and beyond my infirmities, if you had the ability, you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me. So there are those who believe maybe it could have been the issue of his eyes or a sickness that he pleaded with God to take away. And but you see, it's only mentioned one, and it does not, anyway, we'll get back to that, why it will not be the one. Then the other argument that people give is that, is it because he had epilepsy? You know, like, okay, the other sickness, that is it that some historians think that he had epilepsy, that maybe from time to time he will fall and that. But then the second thing that that people consider, that that this messenger of Satan, that the thorn in the flesh that was given to him, is it persecution? Now, there's a reason why they think it is persecution, because when we see the context of what he's talking about the sufferings that he went through. And the word, the key answer that gives us there is the word, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, when we think of that word buffet, the word buffet is used in the context of someone giving you a blow. And the same word buffet is used when Jesus was struck, you know, when he was suffering and he was being punished. The Bible says that they buffet him with their fists. So it is a word that is used when someone strikes you with a blow. So that action of someone, you know, boxing you and continually, you know, hurting you, like someone really like giving you a proper blow, suffering in the flesh, is what he says that it was given. A messenger of Satan was given to buffet him. beyond measure. And what do we see? That even when he continues to say in verse 10, therefore I will take a pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So basically he's telling us that I have been going through persecutions. Each and every place I have gone, I faced persecutions. You can remember, I think it is in Lystra and Derbe, where they have just healed a crippled man. Then some Jews come and they stone him. And you know, in that time when they stone you and they were sure he was dead, they dragged him out of the city and just threw his body. But the Bible says that the believers came and gathered around him and prayed. In Acts 14, I think it's, yeah, towards around 20 to 22, the believers gathered around him, they prayed, and then he rose up. And then they let him go. And he was we've just read where the governor in Damascus wanted to arrest him, and he had to be lowered through a basket in the window. So what we see is that there is a suffering that Paul was going through that comes as a result of the gospel. And this thorn in the flesh is not the weakness that we think of, that he was struggling with sin. Because that is what the third thing that some people think, that, oh, this thorn in the flesh, most likely maybe he was struggling with sin, and oh, that is why, because he was not married, he wanted to marry and all that, he was struggling with his flesh. No, this is not what he is facing. What we are seeing is that a messenger of Satan was given to blow him, to give him blows. And it's like the waves of persecution. Everywhere he will go, beaten by the, you know, by the Jewish leaders. He goes to the Gentiles, they stone him. He goes again somewhere else, they face persecution. You see where we have read, he was hungry. He was facing dangers of, you know, wild animals. And even from those who claim to be believers. And you see, as we do our Christian life, one thing that we'll realize that we cannot run away from suffering. Especially there is a suffering and a persecution that comes for the gospel. Many people would really want to avoid it or say that no, I mean, I'll be good, things will be okay, things will be fine. Yes, that is true. But there is a reality that we find that there are certain things that come to us to buffet us. And you see, like for Paul, it is, he said that because of the exceeding revelations he was getting, God wanted to keep him humble. And how was he being kept humble? He was being kept humble by the persecutions, because in those persecutions, he could only look to God. You can imagine being drifting in a boat in a raft. Your ship has, you've been shipwrecked, and then you're just in the sea for a day and a half. And they're beaten by winds. They're beaten by the blows of the wind. And all that time, all he can do is look up to Christ. Then he says, he cried out to the Lord. He besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. But what does God say? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, God can allow certain things to come to us, and instead of dealing with them, instead of taking them away, he gives you the grace to go through it. It's a hard statement, but you can imagine, let's say someone has been unwell, or maybe someone gets cancer, and this person goes for prayers. You can see that this person is born again, this person loves the Lord, this person is a servant of Christ, he is, you know, or has an ailment that he is completely trusting God for healing. He has believed, he has received the healing, he's confessing the healing. And he has received it in his spirit man, but you can see that in the natural, it is yet to manifest. And this person will be like, God, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you to take this away. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we live the Christian life, even Peter speaks about it, that we have our example that also Christ suffered. That there is a suffering that comes not because of our own mistakes, not because we have done what is wrong, but there is suffering that comes, that could come, that comes as a result of the doing and following after the way of Christ. And every Christian and every believer will go through it. If you're truly genuine in your faith, either there is something that you will be opposed because of your faith. You'll be opposed either because of your stand for the gospel. Either they might want you to do corruption and you refuse, or the boss might want you to, maybe you might want you to commit immorality with them and you refuse. And as a result of that, then you are forced to lose your job, or you're forced to lose a contract, and you go through a period of suffering for that. Not because you're sinful or you've done evil, but because you have stood for what Christ stood for. And so we see the apostle of God, Apostle Paul, suffers. He goes through every place, suffering in persecutions, until he gets to a point where he hears God. And this is a very important thing, where he says he sought the Lord. Whenever we go through trials, whenever we go through difficulties, through tough moments, it is important to seek God, to know what is it? What is it? What is it that I am going through? And what is it, Lord? What is the answer for this situation? And the Bible says, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My power works best in weaknesses. When we are weak, when we are suffering for Christ, when we look like we don't have the strength, when we look like it is a contradiction, our life is a contradiction to what people expect it to be. You know, you can be this person, you know, you're this servant of God, and you're praying for people, they're getting well, they're getting jobs, and then you at the same place, that is not working for you. You have labored in the gospel, you have served people, and then they have cast you away. And yet you wonder, all this I've done is for the sake of Christ. It has not been for myself. God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God reveals himself not only to the believer or to the person who is going through suffering, but also to those around them. That for sure, here it is just grace at work. It is just God's hand is on this person. God's power rests on those who will suffer for his name, and those who will carry on in the faith despite the persecutions, despite the difficulties, conscious of God's will, that this is the will of God for my life. This is the will of God. I need to be here. I need to serve the gospel. I need to spread the message, even though we suffer for it, even though men say wrong things, even though, yes, they claim to be believers, but they don't behave like believers. Because the reality is, there are many people, the people that even hurt or persecute are at times not people in the world, but they're actually people in the church that will hurt us. But do we find strength in God? And secondly, can we learn to have a clear conscience and learn to forgive? Because the Bible tells us, even Christ, though he was insulted, he did not retaliate. Though he was spat on, he kept silent. Though all these things happened to him, he kept looking to God. He kept looking to God. And no matter what we are facing today, no matter what trials we face for the gospel, no matter the contradictions that we see in our life that is contrary to what we expect to see, as long as we keep our faith and hope in God, that word will come to us, that my grace is sufficient for you, for for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you are weak, Christ is strong. When we are weak, God's power is even stronger. In fact, when you go through challenges, that's when that you know that you're being promoted. God is taking you to another level. God is raising you up and is strengthening you, and he's using that, because the Bible says, after we have gone through the fire, we shall come out as gold. And this is what Job said: after I've gone through the fire, I will come out as gold. So there's a fire that comes to make us better, to make us better. As believers, we need to be prepared mentally for trials. We need to be prepared mentally for persecutions. We need to be prepared mentally for tough times that will come. Jesus said, in this world you will face troubles of many kinds, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. A gospel that does not show us that we will also face tough times is not balanced. And that is why many people leave the church, especially when they've had the prosperity gospel that never balances, that good and bad things could also come as a result of the gospel. And so they expect the good, and for sure the good comes, but then when the bad comes and they cannot reconcile that God also can allow suffering to come to his believers, then they fall away, because they say, then this God is not real. I expected him to heal my father. I expected him to heal my mother. I expected, because I've been doing good, I've been paying my tithes, I've been doing this, my business will stand. I've been expecting that I will get this contract. I've been expecting that my boss will honor me, or what will this. But then it does not happen. So maturity brings us to the point of realization that the blessings of God are part of it. But along those blessings, there are persecutions that will come. There are suffering that may come for the sake of perfecting us and making us better. But even in those moments, God's grace is sufficient for us. So I will stop there, my brother, and I pray that if you are welcome to reflect.
Just thinking of different things, because suffering and torment and persecution is part of our life as Christians, and it's a passage of maturity. If I have to say that. Yeah, but I'm just afflicted, confused a little bit when Paul is actually intentionally asking for a messenger of Satan to come and torment him. And also that Paul prayed several times, three times after, for the thorn in his flesh to be removed. And God did not do that. So I'm just, because I thought there is it is downtime bump, this suffering that we go through as Christians. It's not something that is to live with you until your days are done on this earth. I thought it's something that comes at the moment, you know, to help you grow, help you mature. And once you have grown and matured past that, just like see from Job, after all that, Job regained everything he had lost. He did not live with that torment, he did not live with that thorn in his flesh until he left the world. No, it was so that's what is confusing me here.
Because
as Christians, because even me, I believe that as Christians, there will be a time, and these things come, you know, they come. But time will come when I will pass beyond that, you know, I will overcome, and the devil will flee very far away. There's nothing that of pain, of suffering that will come my way.
Yeah.
So this is what has been I've been thinking about.
I think it's good. It's a good question, and maybe just to highlight that Paul did not pray for it. He did not pray for the thorn to come. The Bible says the thorn in the flesh was given to him. So what I believe is that God allowed the thorn in the flesh to come, the messenger from Satan. You know, God does not cause evil, but he can allow suffering to come. In that, he did not pray for it. He prayed that God to remove it. Maybe you can check that again.
But he asked.
Yeah, he asked for God to remove it. Yes.
Yeah. No. But then he said, "I was given a thorn in the flesh,
yes.
A messenger." Okay.
Yeah, he was given. It was given to him. So it's not that he asked for the thorn in the flesh. So we should not ask for the thorn in the flesh. But the assurance is, let me ask a question. Do you think there's a point where we will say now we are fully mature? We've grown. There's nothing else we can learn in the things of God. And we are ready to go. You know, I believe that. Let me just answer. I believe that we are on a continual journey of growth. Okay? So it's just like in class. Once you go through a test, you now qualify, and then now you go to the next level. Now, in that next level, there's another level of a test that will come. And beyond that, once you qualify, there's another level of a test that will come. Why does God do this? Because we are growing from one level of glory to another. Every level of glory will have its level of challenge, will have its level of trial, will have its level of test. Because with God, yes, he has given you, but he still says, now I know. Even Abraham, he still gets to a point where God says, now I know that you really trust me. You understand? So God will give you in credit. But then a time will come now, you'll say, okay, let's check again. Let's check where you are. Now, it is one thing. Everyone has a different grace. Let me put it that way. Now, Job faced the trials once. And for sure, after that, he was blessed. He stayed without trials and all that. Now, Paul's grace was somehow different as well. Now, the Bible says that, I think it's Acts 9 verse 16. The Bible says that, I will show him the things that he must suffer for my name's sake. So the calling of Paul was clear. Jesus said, this man is my chosen instrument, and I will show him the things he must suffer for my name's sake. So for sure, Paul, God had placed it in his life that this guy is going to be my chosen instrument to take my gospel to kings, to Gentiles. And on top of that, he adds, and I will show him the things he must suffer for my name's sake. Note that. But what I'm trying to say is this, as long as we are on this earthly body, this earth, as long as you're a human being, Jesus said, in this world, you will face trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So that means that you will face it, but the one in you is greater than the one in the world. The trial has no capacity to crush you. It only has the capacity to make you better. So anytime you face a trial, when it is allowed, remember that God says, my grace is sufficient for you, and I am going to strengthen you, and I'm going to provide a way for you to stand up under it. That means you will lift it up. It will not crush you. You know, when it says he provides a way for you to stand up under it, that means the trial can still be on your head. But you're not crushed, you're standing. And you're walking and you're moving. Now, that is the difference. Now, as long as you're a human being, as long as you're on this earth, if the God wills, he can, yes, he can give you a peaceful life till your end. The Bible says Solomon had peace all the days of his life.
True.
But when the trials come, if you are not ready for them, if you have not been given the reality check, then you will lose your faith. And that is what happens. Many people, I've seen many people lose their faith, especially when they go through trials. But you must know who you have believed. Who have you believed? That is the question. Who have you believed? And that is the place of preparation. And that's why for me, I felt that, I felt led to share this, because it is such moments that unless you are prepared for the trials, they will crush you. So mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you need to be prepared. But you need to know who is inside you is greater. So if God gives you peace all the way like Job, glory to God. If God still takes you through trials and persecution, glory to his name. But let us know that God has overcome the world, and the one inside us is greater. The one inside us is greater. And let us pray for encouragement, and that God will encourage his people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I honor you. I glorify your name. I thank you for your word that has come to us. And indeed, you know the hearts of your people that are heavy, that are going through pain, are going through persecutions, are going through trials of various kinds, that caused by unbelievers, caused by believers, caused by the devil, caused by things that beyond them that they don't understand, and many with questions as to why, Lord, you did not heal, why, Lord, this still thing has not gone away. And I pray for your peace of mind and your heart to come to them, and this answer that says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And I pray for strength from above, for your children, and even for those who are not in the trial at the moment, even as they prepare their hearts, as they know that one day or another, at a point on this earth, these things might come if God allows them. I pray for strength to go, and strength to be stable, and strength to be encouraged in Christ, O God. You are our strength, you are our portion, you are our all in all. And even for them that need to know you as Christ and Lord and Savior, the Lord, you receive them as they forgive, ask for forgiveness, and they put their faith in Christ. I pray for your grace and strength to go ahead of us, keep us, sustain us, and watch over us. In everything that we do, we honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom.